Well, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 90, Psalm 90. I know we're studying through the book of Colossians right now on Sunday morning, but given the circumstance of us not being able to be together, I thought that it would be most appropriate to just take a quick pause as well from our study through Colossians and focus here on a psalm, the 90th psalm in particular. And then next Sunday when we come together on the 18th, we will conclude resume our study through the book of Colossians. But this morning I want to invite you to turn to Psalm 90. And I want us to read these 17 verses together. And then I want to spend just a few moments talking about a prayer in troubled times. A prayer in troubled times. Psalm 90, verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in the wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us, therefore, to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. I fear at times that we fail to truly understand and appreciate the significance of the Psalms in our journey as Christians. Through the years, I have purposefully, while not always consecutively, but purposefully taught through the book of Psalms. The reason that this is important to me is because the book of Psalms is an actual hymn book filled with lyrics that God has intended for His people to both sing and pray to Him. And when you study, sing, and pray the Psalms, you discover that much of them focus on suffering and even death. You see, in times of trouble and misery, we've been given a resource as believers that help the Christian sing songs about sorrow and pain and trouble. And this is one of the major purposes of the Psalms, to teach us to learn how to express grief and sorrow as we deepen our trust in God. To know what to sing and what to pray when our hearts are broken, when our lives are going through deep sorrow, and when trouble and uncertainty surround us. Of course, it is without doubt that we collectively as a people and also individually in different personal and private aspects that that we are facing troubled times. Again, we are facing it globally, nationally. We are facing it individually. Injustice, corruption, disease, evil, loss. Our days are filled with trouble. And speaking of loss, some of you are dealing with loss of employment, loss of health, loss of loved ones. We can't escape the reality that injustice, corruption, and evil, disease, it's all around us. We are without doubt facing troubled times. And often God will use these troubled times as a means to bring us to a place where it is just us and Him. This is essentially how Psalm 90 begins. It is a prayer of Moses during a tumultuous season leading the children of Israel. You see, because of Israel's unbelief and their rebellion against Moses as their leader, God brought judgment on them, making them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until an entire generation of disobedient and unbelieving people died. It was only after this 40-year judgment that God allowed a new generation of Israelites to enter into the land of promise. So Moses' prayer and song here in Psalm 90 is his response to this troubled time. It's his response during this 40-year period of judgment where they are wandering in the wilderness just waiting for an entire generation of people to die because of their rebellion and unbelief. And I love how Moses begins the psalm. He takes great comfort in that no matter what is going on around him, that God will be his dwelling place. That God will be his home. Think about that this morning. For God's people, He is our home. He is our refuge. He is our place of comfort. He is the place where we truly belong. That's what Moses is saying as he is opening up this song of prayer in the midst of a troubled time. Look at it in verse 1. He says, "Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in every generation." God, You are the place we belong. Lord, it is You where we feel at home. You see, unlike this world that's constantly changing, it's constantly transient, it's daily passing away. Unlike the world, our God is a home. And He is a home that is permanent. He is a home that is eternal. Look at it there in verse number 2. It says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God." So what is Moses doing here? I'll tell you what he's doing. In troubled times, he is pointing us to the eternal refuge of God. In other words, what he's saying is that if you want to make it through the constant craziness that exists around you, if you want to make it through the troubled times that you are experiencing, if you want to get through the pressures of this world, then you're going to need to stop. And you're going to need to stop and think about where and who your home is. Again, he is pointing us to God. For it is in Him and Him alone where grace is found in troubled times. It is Him and Him alone where strength is drawn as we endure the pressures of this world. And perhaps that's what the Lord wants us to do even now. He wants us to just stop and be reminded that it is not in this world we find refuge. No, it is in God we find refuge, for it is God who is our dwelling place. It is God who is our home. It's as if we are looking outside, if you will, the windows of our home, and we see the trouble and the craziness and the pressures, and then we sit back in rest because we know that our home is not out there, but our home is in here with God, for God is the place we belong. God is our dwelling place. And this is why at the end of the psalm we find this specific prayer. For Moses has understood that the source of strength in the midst of trouble is God and God alone. And that's what I want to direct our attention to this morning. This is a prayer for troubled times. It's a reminder that we need to stop and think about who our home is and where our home is and draw strength and grace from our dwelling place. I want you to see three things that Moses speaks of here in this prayer for troubled times. Number one, the first thing that he prays is this. We find it in verse 12. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. A prayer for troubled times. And we are to pray to the Lord, asking Him to teach us to number our days. Look at it in verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And let's be honest. I think that we often think in terms of years, don't we? In fact, this year has been so bad that most of us now only think about 2021. It seems like we've given up on 2020 before the second quarter even began. That's how we think. We think in terms of years, or this year was a good year, or this year was a bad year, or I'm looking forward to this particular year because in that year I've got some goals that I want to achieve, some things I want to do. But the Bible calls us not to think necessarily in terms of years. The Bible calls us to think in terms of days. Days. He says clearly, teach us not to number our years, teach us to number our days. Now, in case you're already trying to figure out what the meaning of the request here, let me just go ahead and throw it out of your thinking that this is not a matter of arithmetic, all right? He is not saying that you need to be constantly keeping up with the number of days that you are living. However, just for fun, I did determine this week that I am, as of right now, October the 11th, 2020, I am today 14,025 days old, all right? That sounds old, doesn't it? 14,025 days old today, all right? That includes every day since the day I've been born, the leap years and all that kind of stuff. I thought I'd have a little fun with that and figure it out. But that's not what he's talking about here, all right? He's not talking about arithmetic in the sense that you need to number your days, as in trying to figure out how many days you are living on this earth. No. This, friend, is a call to take into account the brevity of life. He's asking us to consider the brevity of life. Teach us to number our days. Teach us to live in the moment, day by day. Why? Because life is short. John Calvin said in commentating on this particular passage, he said, "Whence proceeds the stupidity of men? who proceed in the affairs of life as if they were to live 2,000 years without the consideration of which we perceive not how speedily our life vanishes away. It's true. So often we don't even think about the frailty of life. It's as if we live our lives each day as if we're going to live forever. But the Bible constantly draws us into this reality that life is short. And a prayer that we need to pray in troubled times is, Lord, teach us to think about the brevity of life. Just this week, my wife and I caught ourselves watching TV Land. Now, one thing I learned about going on a quarantine, a COVID quarantine, is that that I find myself getting bored rather quickly with television programming. I've watched the Smithsonian Channel a lot. I know, and I'm getting older. That must be what the deal is. I liked watching Aerial America and plane disasters and different things. I've watched a lot of court TV. I get into that sort of thing. But the other day I found myself watching TV Land. Now, when I was a kid, my parents and my grandparents would watch TV Land so that they could view the shows that they watched growing up, you know, like the Andy Griffith Show and the I Love Lucy and things of that nature. And now when we turn on TV Land, we find that Kathleen and I are watching programming on TV Land that were the shows when we were growing up. I initially looked at my wife after seeing that King of Queens is now on TV Land. I said, are we really getting this old? That the shows that we enjoyed and watched when we had just got married have now transitioned themselves to TV Land? I mean, when I was a boy staying at my grandparents' house, we'd turn on TV Land to watch Gilligan's Island and Flipper and those things. Our generation knows nothing about that television show. Now my life is passing before my very eyes. That at 14,025 days old, the shows that I watched growing up are now prime television viewing on TV Land. Life is short, friend. Life is brief. And so what he's calling us to do is to take into account the brevity of life. But not only that, he's also calling us to make the most of our days by living one day at a time. One day at a time. And the best advice that I could give you for troubled times is this. Take it one day at a time. Take it one day at a time. And again, there's trouble all around us. There's trouble globally, individually, personally, domestically, in our families. There's financial trouble. There's health trouble. There's trouble all around us. Pastor, how do I get through to this? The first step is take it one day at a time. Make your days count. Don't waste them. Fill your days with purpose and intentionality. There's a reason why in the Lord's Prayer that he taught us to pray things such as this. Give us our daily bread. Our daily bread. That is, every day of our lives ought to be filled with purpose and intentionality, that we don't waste our days, that we don't squander them, that we don't allow days to go by and we wake up to the reality of I've wasted so much time. No. Number your days. Think about the brevity of life. Live one day at a time by making the most of your days, filling it with purpose and intentionality, and then just simply living each day as if it is your last. Live each day as if it is your last. This is what it means to make our days count, to live one day at a time. It's this one day at a time focus that the Bible says will give us wisdom for living. It's exactly what he says in verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He says when we are living day by day, we will then begin to discern the wisdom that is necessary to walk through the craziness and pressures of this world. That's our prayer today in troubled days. Lord, in this day of trouble, teach us to live one day at a time with a heart of wisdom. I am comforted by Moses' words here when he says, teach us to do this. Because this is not natural for us to think in terms of the moment, to live one day at a time. It's not natural. It goes against our grain. Something we must learn to do. And this is why we pray these things. Lord, teach us. Help me to learn how to live one day at a time, making my days count, filling it with purpose and intentionality, and living every day as if it is my last. So the first part of this prayer that we pray in troubled times is, number one, teach us to number our days. Number two, make us glad in our affliction. Make us glad in our affliction. That brings us here to verse number 15. Notice what he says here. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, in the years wherein we have seen evil. So the first part of the prayer is, teach us to number our days. And then the second part of Moses' prayer here is, make us glad. Make us glad according to our affliction. Now, there is no question that Moses' trouble has brought disappointment, heartbreak, and sorrow. But yet it is in his despair that he prays to God, his refuge, to make him glad. To make him glad although his days are filled with affliction. To make him glad although he is surrounded by evil. To make him glad even though he is experiencing the disappointment of a rebellious people. Make us glad. That's one of the most important prayers that we can pray in the midst of our trouble and sorrow. Lord, make us glad. It's the prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51. Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Make me glad, he prayed. And exactly what Moses is praying here in the day of his trouble. Lord, teach me to number my days and make me glad in my affliction. Verse 14 is the key to this gladness. Look at it there in your Bible, Psalm 90, verse 14. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy. Satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. This is the key to the gladness that we are praying for. In fact, the word mercy here, it means steadfast love. In fact, it's better translated as such. Satisfy us early with thy steadfast love. Satisfy us with thy steadfast love. What Moses is doing here is committing himself to rest in the steadfast love of God, to rest in his covenant love, to rest in his merciful love. Make us glad, he prayed. And how is it that God makes us glad? He makes us glad when we not only come to realize his steadfast love, but when we acknowledge and rest in his steadfast love. Christian, do you understand this morning that you are deeply loved by God? I know you're facing trouble. It's hard even in this season, this pandemic, this roller coaster ride that we are on as a church family. To have to go through this season of separation, to have to step back from our normal routines of weekly and daily ministry. It's hard even in these moments to stop and just rest. But yet it is even now, as you walk through your days of trouble, it is even now that as a church we go through this up and down emotional ride, that we must rest in the fact that we are deeply, I'm saying deeply, loved by God. Yes, even in your cancer, you are deeply loved by God. Yes, even in your separation from family, you are deeply loved by God. Yes, even when your own children have walked away from you and your heavenly Father, even now you are still deeply loved by God. And Moses had to pray that prayer, Lord, make me glad in my affliction. Help me to rest, to be satisfied in your steadfast love. Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, a God who is gracious, a God who is slow to anger, a God who is abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is what makes our hearts glad in the midst of our affliction and trouble. It's the deep, steadfast love of God. You see, it's His love that can make you smile again. It's His love that can give you hope again. It's His love that can cause you to burst out in praise again. Friend, resting in the steadfast love of God will change your gloom into gladness. This is a prayer we need to pray in troubled times. Lord, in this day of trouble, teach me to live one day at a time. Lord, make me glad in your steadfast love. There's a third portion of this, and this is where we'll conclude. He prays, teach us, make us, and thirdly, show us the glory of your work. That's his prayer. Teach us to number our days. Make us glad in your steadfast love. Show us the glory of your work. It's an interesting end to the prayer, and I think it has some similarities to the Lord's Prayer. In fact, look at verse 16. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish you the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. The reason why I say it draws similarities from the Lord's Prayer is because when you think about what the Lord taught us when he said, pray like this, one stanza portion that Jesus said that we ought to be praying is this: thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. That's to be a part of our daily prayer. Lord, may today your kingdom prevail, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a sense in which this is exactly what Moses was praying in verses 16 and 17. In spite of all the trouble, craziness, and evil that abounds, Lord, do your work. That's what Moses is saying here. Lord, in spite of all the trouble, build your kingdom. May your will, O Lord, be glorified in us. You see, Moses wanted to see the work of God. Verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Lord, thy kingdom come, your will be done. We want to see your work. Not only that, he wanted the glory of God to be known by his children, by the next generation. Look at the rest of verse 16. He not only says, let thy work appear unto thy servants, but let thy glory appear unto our children. He said, Lord, I want to see your work. Lord, I want my children to know and experience your glory. And then when you come to verse 17, he says that he wanted the favor of God to be upon them and all their efforts for him. That's what is meant by the phrase in verse 17, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the favor of God be upon us. And Lord, establish our efforts for you. Establish our work for you. Bless it. Help it to succeed. Lord, may your favor be on our ministry for you. The Lord knows my heart when I say that this right here is a regular part of my daily prayer to God. There is craziness all around us. Political craziness, health difficulties. We live in a day and time where there is and always will be trouble, craziness, evil, and loss. But even in all this craziness, I want to see the work of God accomplished in this city. I want to see the work of God accomplished around the world. I want my children to know the glory of God. I want them to be able to experience the favor and blessings of God. I want my efforts for Christ to have his favor. I want our efforts as a church to have the favor of God in it. This is what Moses is praying. Lord, we want to see you work. We want to see your glory on our children. We want to see your favor and blessing on our work for you. Yes, even in the days of our trouble, this ought to be our prayer. Teach us to number our days. Make us glad in our affliction. Show us the glory of your work. Show us the glory of your work. It does sadden me the things that I see going on in our government. But my prayer, even in these sad and difficult days, is Lord, show us the glory of your work. It kills me that our ministries have been disrupted in this pandemic, but even now my prayer remains the same. Lord, show us the glory of your work. We could go on and on and on. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what your trouble is or how much trouble you are in, may that be your prayer, Lord. Show me the glory of your work. Make me glad in my affliction. Teach me to number my days. Now the question is, did God answer Moses' prayer? It's actually a very interesting observation, because Moses was never allowed by God to enter into the land of promise. You remember that? And what we understand chronologically is that this prayer was offered just prior to God taking Moses up into that mountain where he allowed him to look over into the land of promise, but yet at the same time telling Moses that your feet will never step foot inside the land. It was there that Moses would look and then die. So the question is, if God answered this prayer, how did God answer this prayer? Well, the next time we see Moses in the Bible is in Luke chapter 9, the transfiguration of Christ. And what do we remember there on the Mount of Transfiguration? We remember that along with Elijah, there standing with Jesus on a mountain in the land of promise, seeing the glory and favor of God, is Moses himself. You see, God answered Moses' prayer, and he answered it in a way that Moses would have never imagined. You see, trouble is real, but God never disappoints us with his grace. Trouble is real, but God never disappoints us with his grace. God showed Moses grace, and he will show you grace. This is why I invite your attention to Psalm 90 today, so that together we will pray this prayer during these troubled days. The prayer that says, teach us to number our days that we may live in wisdom. Make us glad in our affliction by resting in your steadfast love. And show us the glory of your work by building your kingdom here on earth. Let's pray together.